Well, as you can guess, I'm not Tyler. But if you don't know me, my name's Trevor. I'm an elder here at the church, and I've been asked to preach on a few occasions, but it's been a while. I was telling some people I was going to preach today, and they said, "You mean we're not going to get a Macon story?" Like, I don't have a Macon story. I've got a few stories where I made a wrong turn in Macon, Georgia, and ended up in a shady part of town, but that's not quite the story I want to tell you today. But I do have a funny Trevor story. How would you like to hear a funny Trevor story? All right. Some of you might know this, but I work for a pest control company named Terminex, and I go around to different homes and service their homes and stuff like that. And a couple weeks ago, I went to a town, well, it was called Elko, but it was right on the Elko-Unadilla border. It was a farm. And I pulled in, I was talking to the couple that lived there, and they're getting ready to leave. So they trusted me enough, they said, "Here's the keys to the house, you go in, take care, put in the mailbox." And all kinds of farm animals. I pull in, there's a baby goat walking right past my truck. There's a baby foal that kept following me all the way around the house. Chickens, miniature horses, donkeys, cows. Scared of peacocks, though. Peacocks really, I don't care much for peacocks. I'm kind of scared of them, but I like the other animals. Everybody was gone. I tried to talk to them a little bit, you know. I tried to take a selfie with the miniature horses, but they didn't want to really do that. And I was finishing up the house, and all of a sudden I walked over by the donkey, and the donkey started braying. And I looked around, no one there. So I did the Trevor thing to do, and I brayed right back at it. Well, within 3 seconds, it brayed right back at me. And this went back and forth about 3 or 4 times, me just braying at the donkey, and the donkey braying back at me. Typical donkey conversations, you know. Asked him if he'd accepted my friendship request on Facebook. Asked him if it related to Balaam's donkey in the Bible, you know, that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, I turn around to go back to my truck. I did not know this, but their teenage son was on the porch looking at me. He had his hat down. He had a little smile on his face. He'd just been chuckling, and he looked at me and said, "You having a good day, sir?" I was beet red, walked the shame back to my truck and got my truck, called my wife. She snickered on the phone for about 15, 20 seconds. The point is, make sure you look around when you talk to animals, because you might make a fool out of yourself. But anyway, have you ever lost connection with someone? Have you ever lost touch with a close friend? I remember growing up, I had 2 really good friends. Their names were John Franklin and Micah Johnson. And I grew up in Tennessee, so you don't know any of them. I met John through high school. He was a year older than me. He introduced me to Micah, who was a year younger than me, and we did everything together. We played basketball together. We went to football games at Neyland Stadium together. We were like the 3 Musketeers. And I remember this one memory. Jennifer, I were dating at the time. You're not familiar with Northeast Tennessee, we like to play basketball at a place called Warriors Path State Park. And we went there. It was an island in the middle of the lake. You had to drive across and pick up games all the time. And we were playing basketball, and we all brought our girlfriends. The girlfriends all sat on picnic tables watching us play basketball. We just did everything together. But John graduated. Then the year after that, I graduated. And then a year after that, Micah graduated, and we lost touch. I didn't see or hear from John for probably 15, 18 years. And through the power of Facebook, we found each other. Micah's not on Facebook, so I still haven't met him, but we reconnected after all these years. And it's amazing how if we don't work on our relationships, we can lose touch with each other. It's often said that relationships take work. And you know, the same is true with our relationship with God. It takes work. And if we don't work on a relationship with God, we're eventually going to lose the strength that our friendship or relationship with Him can mean. Today I want to talk to you about maintaining your relationship with God. For some of you, it might be that. For others, you can change the title of it to improving your relationship with God. Or some of you today might be, I need to start my relationship with God. Revelation 3:15 through 16 says this: I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. This is my favorite cup of coffee. This is my favorite cup. It's plain. But my daughter gave it to me, I think, 2 or 3 years ago for Father's Day. Beautiful words and pictures, but she didn't know when it went through the dishwasher, everything went off. And it was just a plain empty cup. So I still use it. I got it this morning before everybody else, poured a cup of coffee. It's washed. I did wash it myself. But I like my coffee. Most of us like our coffee hot. Do we have any weirdos out there like cold or iced coffee? Because I need to pray for you guys. I tried a sip of iced coffee. To me, it's nasty. But I like my coffee hot. How many of you that drink coffee have taken a few sips, gone to do something else, come back and take a sip of coffee and it was lukewarm? I've done that many, many times, and it is just one of the nastiest tastes in your mouth. It's lukewarm coffee. When our coffee gets lukewarm, we'd rather just spit it out or swallow it real quickly. You see, Jesus said that our spiritual lives can be hot or cold or lukewarm. What does it mean to be spiritually hot, cold, or lukewarm? And why did Jesus say he'd rather spit out those who were lukewarm? And if you look up the word for spit out in the Greek, it literally means to vomit out of one's mouth. Well, let's look at hot. Hot means you're growing in your faith with God. And I can't think about when I think back about my relationship with God, I think one of my most powerful times, times I was closest to God, was when I first gave my life and my heart to Jesus. I was on fire for God, and that's when it was the most hot. And as life happens, you get ebbs and flows of your life. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says this: your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Have you noticed how it talks about your faith determines your ability to love one another more? Therefore, you can say, if my faith is not growing, I have a harder time loving other people. Think back about any relationship you've ever had, whether it's with a parent, a brother, a sister, a spouse, whatever it is. What things did you do to make that relationship grow? It's almost like your relationship was on fire. It was growing and it was doing so well. Did you spend time with that person? Did you listen? Did you take time out of your busy schedule to spend time together? Did you communicate? Again, I remember going back to when Jennifer and I were dating, we did one of those weird things called writing letters. Has anybody written a letter in here, a handwritten letter, in the last 6 months? Wow. We got a couple strange people in the back that have written letters in the last 6 months. But that's what we did. We wrote letters to each other, telling about how we liked. Back then, it cost money to talk long distance. And my parents and her parents only allowed us 30 minutes a week to talk to each other long distance. And then we had to click. And it was Sunday nights about 7 or 8 o'clock at night that we would talk on the phone. But we made time for each other because we prioritized that because we wanted our relationship to grow. And that's what it is when your relationship with God is hot. You're doing whatever you can to make your relationship grow. Well, let's look on the other end. What does it mean to be cold in a relationship? That means spiritual. That means you do not know God yet. John 7:28-29 says, he who sent me is true. You do not know God, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. If you're cold in your relationship, that means you have not even started your relationship with God yet. And when I think about it like this. Eventually, when God calls time, we're all going to know God whether we know him personally or not. And you see, our relationship with God is so important, but yet there's so many people that do not know God. And I'm not even talking about going overseas for a mission trip. I'm talking about people next door that don't know God. I'm talking about people you work with that do not know God. I know people that you run into every day at a restaurant. They don't know God. They are cold in their relationship with God because no one has told them that. Tyler's preached quite a few sermons on knowing your intersection in life, knowing who you come across on a daily basis. There's a lot of people that don't simply know God. Or if they know God, they are being fed some false information about God. Well, God won't love me because I did this. Well, I don't want to follow rules because and then I won't have fun in my life. You see, until we know God intimately, we're going to be cold for those people that don't know Jesus. And so that's a group of people. There are hot people, there are cold, and we're going to touch on lukewarm. That means simply they are drifting. Hebrews 2:1 says this, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've learned, so that we do not drift away." Have you ever laid down in a pool on a raft or whatever, and you just laid there, maybe taking a nap, and you ended up halfway across the lake or anything like that? Well, a couple weeks ago, my family and I met some other family, and we went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's been a while since I've been to the Atlantic side. It's been a while since I've been to the beach, period. But we were walking out to the beach, and one of the first things I told my children was, be careful, because when you play in the ocean, sometimes you can lose a track of where you are, and you're going to be far away from where we set up camp. We even set up our stuff near a lifeguard stand. I said, you see this red flag right here? When you're out in the ocean, focus on that, and that will help lead you back to where we are. Because to me, the Atlantic side is a little bit rougher than the Gulf side. Well, they had fun in the ocean. They were playing and laughing, and I was about ready to go back to the room, and I looked, and there they are, way, way down the beach. I yelled for them. They didn't listen. Not because they didn't want to listen. They couldn't hear me. And finally, we had to go in and say, let's go back. But they were playing and laughing and having such a good time, they didn't even realize that they were drifting away from where their parents were. And I think that's a lot of times how we can drift away from God. We're doing good things. We're laughing, we're playing, we're enjoying life, and we don't see that we're gently, slowly falling away from hearing God's voice. I was in the ocean with them sometimes, and I knew we were far away. And it took all my strength to get back and walk in the ocean all the way back to where we are. It took effort. It took work to get back to where I wanted to be. And that's the same thing in our relationship with God. When we realize we've drifted away, we got to intentionally turn the right way and fight against the ways of life until we get back to where we belong. You see, we can drift away from God without even realizing it. You see, that's what happens in human relationships as well. They drift away. Do I think a lot of relationships with kids and parents want to be fractured? No. Do I think spouses want to live in broken relationships? No. Do I think coworkers intentionally do not want to coexist with others? No. I think simply we allow life to slowly pull us apart and we don't even realize it. And then you wake up one day and like, how in the world did we get here? You see, God doesn't want us lukewarm. He doesn't want us drifting away from Him. And He calls for us, those who have drifted away. And yet we're too fixated on enjoying life that sometimes we don't hear the Master's call. So what is the temperature of your relationship to God? Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you lukewarm? On our own, it's very difficult to be a relationship with God, have your temperature. I remember I could have been a little bit of a troublemaker growing up. I know it's hard to believe, but I remember one time I did not want to go to school. How many of you have ever not wanted to go to school? All right. Well, I did the thing of, Mom, I don't feel like going to school today. I don't feel good. And so she stuck the thermometer in my mouth and went to go check on my sister. Well, I stuck the thermometer on a light bulb. Left it there for a couple minutes. Came back. And you know what? It worked. She believed me. I stayed home that day. I faked a temperature and got out of doing something. And sometimes that's how we do our relationship with others and with God. We fake it because we don't want to put in the effort of doing things that we know we should do. Do you want to increase your temperature the right way with God? I want to ask you some essential questions right now. What disciplines help you experience God the most? If you want to be successful in an area of your life, for example, getting in shape, you have to practice certain disciplines. What disciplines help you in life in something you want? If you want to, let's say, lose weight or get in shape, Tyler's mentioned it before. Is double stuffed Oreo cookies the way to go? Is 6 or 8 in 1 time the way to go? No. I remember a few years ago, around Easter time, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, went to the doctor for a physical, and they thought I was having a heart attack. They took an EKG, and I don't understand medical terms, but my T-wave was upside down. Don't understand it. Still don't to this day, but it was from childhood. But the first words ever out of his mouth meeting me was, "Are you having a heart attack?" Well, that kind of scared me a little bit. So I started losing weight and getting in shape. And I ate better than I ever had in my entire life. I exercised better than I ever had in my entire life. I lost 48 pounds in about 8 months because I had a goal of wanting to live. And that's the same way in our relationship with God. If we want to live for God, we've got to take drastic ways to improve our relationship with Him. It might mean cutting off old friends. It might be changing your viewing habits. It might be reading the Bible more. It might be going to church more. It might mean not listening to the jokes of your friends that you used to laugh at. There are many different things that we can do to improve our relationship with God. Revelation 2, 4 through 5 says this, "You have forsaken your first love. Repent and now do the things you did at first." You see, their relationship was no longer growing. They were starting to drift away. And what are some ways that we can improve our discipline life with God? For some of you, it might be Bible study. Now, I know we're all encouraged to read the Bible, but we do it in different ways. Some of you might get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to read the Bible. Some of you might read it at midnight. Some of you might listen to on the radio on the way to work or whatever. We all have different ways, but we should be growing closer to God in our Bible study. Maybe it's worship. Maybe it's singing praises to God. Maybe that's how you grow more disciplined in your relationship with God. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's you want to find someone that has a need and meet it, and that gives you a great joy in being more like God. Maybe it's prayer. I used to think, as a little kid, the more spiritually mature you are, the longer your prayer is. I used to believe that. It's not. It's more of a heart relationship with God. The more you talk to God on an honest and sincere level, that's all God cares about. He doesn't care if it's a 30-second prayer or a 4.5-minute prayer. He just wants you talking to Him. Maybe it's fellowship. I know it's hard lately. We're just getting back into life now, but maybe fellowship is what brings you closer to God through interaction with other people. Find good, positive Christian friends that you can spend time with, that you can laugh with, that you can cry with. Maybe it's accountability. That's one that doesn't often get talked about in the church very much. Maybe you're struggling with a particular sin and you don't know how to beat it. Find a godly brother or sister in Christ. Share with them and help them, have them hold you accountable. Maybe it's fasting. Some of you might not know what it is. It's when we give up something, and most of the time it's food, in order to focus more on God. Maybe it's mission. Maybe it's going out of your comfort zone to serve and meet people's needs that are different than your own. Maybe it's totally something else that I've not said. But there are disciplines that can help us grow in life. But it takes time. It takes energy, and it takes dedication. You don't have to be the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, the most discipline. You just got to be moving forward in your relationship with God. It takes work. You see, God has made us all unique. What works for one person might not work for the other person. That's what I said. If your Bible study is better at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 or midnight, you find what works best for you. Maybe your job allows you to spend time in the car or the truck or whatever. Maybe that's a time to focus on God and listen to godly advice. Maybe it's, if you like exercise, going for a run, listening to a Christian broadcast or a podcast or music, and that's how you find your time with God. But find some way to work on your relationship with God. But whenever we have these disciplines that we're trying to improve on, there's always these barriers that keep us from working on those disciplines. What barriers are hindering you from experiencing God? John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded you." You see, God is a God of order and relationship, but he also has rules that he wants us to follow, not to be a dictator, to be a loving father. I've often told my kids this, and maybe you've shared this with your kids or your friends or whatever. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't have any rules for you. I care so much about your life that I want to put up these guidelines, these rules to protect you, not to make your life miserable, but because I love you. And that's what God is doing in his relationship with us. He has barriers, guardrails in life where he wants to protect us. I mean, there's many different sins that we all struggle with. I'm going to list a few of these here. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe you just have to have stuff, and you'll do whatever it takes. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you think your way is the only way in life, and everything else just comes second. Maybe it's sexual lust. Maybe you have trouble controlling what goes in your mind and in your ears. Maybe it's laziness. And what's hard is these are all connected. One if not greater than the other. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's envy. Maybe you struggle your whole life. Maybe, if I just had this. Did you see my friend on Facebook? I am so jealous. I'd love to be doing what they're doing. Did you see that car that my friend's driving? I want one of those. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you have a really bad temper. I kind of think of it like this. There are two kinds of people when it comes to anger. There's short fuses and there's long fuses. Which kind are you? Short fuses are the kind of people that just the slightest little thing ticks them off and they explode. The long fuse is, and this is probably where I fall into it, I take so much and so much and so much and I take it all in and I don't react, and then all of a sudden the smallest little thing can set me off. That's something that I struggle with, is the long fuse connection. Maybe it's self-centeredness. Maybe you go through life thinking about only you and what you can do for yourself, and you don't think about other people. Your blinders are on. Maybe you have trouble telling the truth, lying. Small things, big things. I'm going to lie to get out of trouble. I don't want my boss to find out I did this, so I'm going to just tell this little lie to get the focus on someone else. Maybe I shouldn't have been doing this. Lying, honesty. It's a tough thing. Just being what quote unquote a troublemaker. Did you ever grow up and you just were friends with a troublemaker? Maybe you were the troublemaker. I don't know. I had a friend. We played football in high school. I tell this story all the time, and my kids laugh at me. I don't know if they have it now in high school football. Do they still have junior varsity in football? Do they still have junior varsity? I'm not quite sure if they do or not. I was a sophomore playing high school in Maroc. You probably didn't know this. I got kicked out of a football game once for fighting. I lost my temper with somebody on the other team. I'm not going to lie to you. I threw a punch. Got kicked out of a football game because I let my temper get the best of me. You're thinking, man, he's a small guy to be throwing a punch. But I let my temper get the best of me. We all have these things that we struggle with. All these barriers that keep us from our relationship with God. And they're not unique to anybody else. We all face these struggles. Maybe another form of sin, maybe it's idolatry. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20 verse 3. What idols do you have in your life that prevent you from having a relationship with God? It's tough because each of us are unique. What works as an idol for one person might not be for another person. Maybe it's work. Maybe you're a workaholic and you put your work before anything else. Maybe it's your kids. You put your kids are so important to you that you put them above everything, including your relationship with God. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your football team, your baseball team, your basketball team. I used to be a miserable person when Tennessee lost football. Now it's so common, I don't worry about it anymore. But you could tell on my face whether Tennessee won or lost based on my actions the rest of the day. And I was like, you know what, this is not the way to live. You see, these idols that we put in front of us are not always necessarily bad things. Sometimes they're very good things. Sometimes they're great things, but they're not the most important things. You see, it should be God first and everything else after that. You see, idols are sometimes a hindrance in our relationship with God. I'm going to ask you to just think about this today, and what idols keep you from your relationship with God? What are those good things that keep you from God? What are those bad things that keep you from God? What do you put ahead of him? And then I question you this. What are you going to change that? What are you going to do to change that? Because you know what? The preacher can't get that changed for you. Your spouse can't change that for you. Your kids, your parents, your grandparents, your boss, your friend, they can't change what you're struggling with. They can only walk you through with you, but you have to deal with it. You know what? I can say I need to eat better. I need to lose weight. But you know what? The only time sometimes we think about that is when we're eating that double stuffed Oreo. Or we're eating that extra bowl of ice cream. That's the only time we think about our time we need to change is when we're actually going through that temptation. You need to have a proactive plan. Things don't just happen for a reason. You have to be proactive. It's amazing how sometimes we think in life that it's just going to get better if we just keep on our way and not do anything. You know, it takes effort. I like to go camping sometimes. I don't like the effort that it takes to pack for camping. I don't like to take the work of making sure the tents are together, the sleeping bags, the pillows, the mats, the food, the bug spray, the medicine, the clothes, and on and on and on. But I love camping. I just don't like the process of getting ready for camping. You know? But I enjoy it when I do it. You know what? I love my relationship with God, but you know what? Sometimes I don't always like going through the fires to get better in my relationship with God. Because you know what? Getting closer to God and improving your relationship with God is not easy. It's going to take a lot of time to getting burnt, making the right decisions, losing things along the way, but you know what? In the end, you're going to enjoy it more. I just want to give you a few suggestions on how you can improve your relationship with God. They're not stone, they're not in concrete, they're just some ideas I've come up with. I know some of you are going on vacation this summer. Try listening to a Christian podcast or a radio station or the Bible on tape or just whatever. Have some time. Sometimes when we go on vacation, we go on a vacation from God as well. There are times when you can make God a priority even when you're taking time off from your schedule. Do I do it perfectly? No. I remember one time a few years ago, we went to Orlando and Jennifer asked me to come up with, to find a church that we could go to while we're down there. I must have spent 2 to 3 hours on the internet trying to find a church to go to. And we ended up going, we had a good time. But you know what? It doesn't work for everybody. Find that time when you go on vacation to focus on God as well, because God is a God of good times and bad times, but He enjoys that. Listen to a chapter of the Bible while you walk. Maybe you can put on some headphones, some earbuds, whatever, go on a walk in your neighborhood. Maybe that's a time when you can focus on God and listen to God. Maybe you can try reading a book this summer. I know it seems kind of weird to ask people to read a book during the summer, but try it. You know, I have some friends that are teachers in North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia, and one of the things they struggle with the most in teaching is they spend the first 6 weeks back to school reteaching everything that the kids forgot over the summer. You know, sometimes that's how we are in our lives during the summer. We put everything on hold for the summer, and when we come, why do we have so many kickoffs in the fall for churches? Because we have to get back into the swing of doing things that we didn't normally do during the summer. Make these spiritual disciplines important during the summer as well. Try reading a book. Think about Him on vacation. Like I said, we went to Myrtle Beach a few weeks ago, and I enjoyed myself. One of my favorite times is when I got up about 7 o'clock in the morning. Jennifer's doing what she usually does and makes breakfast for a bunch of people. The boys are still bad, and Bethany and I went on a walk on the beach together about 7:15, 7:30 in the morning. And we were just talking. We were talking about the waves and how far out there in the ocean and stuff like that. We found a couple jellyfish laying on the beach. We found a dead fish. She was pretty excited about that. But we spent time, and we were talking about how far you can even see the land. If you look far enough, you could see Europe. And I was telling her, that's how far you can't see that is how far God's love is for you. There's those times that you can take to make moments during the summer with your kids or your spouse. Talk about God. You can incorporate God into everything in life if you give it that chance. You know, a lot of times in life, we have goals. And sometimes we don't always have New Year's goals. We have goals throughout the life. You don't have to wait till January 1st to make a goal. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. The New Living Translation says, we will share a meal together as friends. But did you notice one thing about that verse? We have to be the ones to open the door. God is going to knock at the door and ask to come in, but He's not going to force His way in. We've got to take the initiative and open the door, and then He's going to dine with us. And it's going to be an amazing feast. Have y'all ever ate an all-you-can-eat buffet? Have you ever gotten a stomach ache from an all-you-can-eat buffet? You know, I can't imagine the layout, the buffet that God is going to have for us when we open the door and walk in, and then when we were with Him in heaven. You talk about all-you-can-eat spiritual buffet. There's no sickness. There's no tummy aches in heaven. We can eat and dine with God forever and enjoy the good food that only He produces. So what are you going to promise God today? You see, just like we can get in life and get into the ocean and laugh with each other and play and do good things, if we don't focus on God, we're going to drift away. And that's kind of like how I think of lukewarm Christianity. We're not doing bad things. We're doing good things, but we're just forgetting a little bit about God, and we're just drifting away until we look back and we realize we need God the Father. So, what are you guys today? Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you drifting? The good thing about being hot for God is you can continue with that. The good thing about being cold is you can make a decision to be on fire for God. And the good thing is, if you're drifting away from God, you can come back to Him. There's not one temperature that can't get you back in a relationship with God. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You so much for being good and kind to us today, Father. And Lord, we are coming from different areas of life. Some of us are on fire for God. Some of us don't know God yet. And some of us, maybe many of us, are looking back toward God and realizing how far we've fallen from Him. But God, thank You so much that You love us in spite of our temperatures, in spite of our relationships. Lord, You just love us. Be with us today, Lord. Thank You so much that You loved us so much. You knew we were going to be hot or cold or lukewarm, and You still sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. You love us so much that You did that. And Father God, we thank You so much that today we can make a decision to live for You forever, and we can get on track, Lord. May that be our goal this summer and throughout our entire lives. May we focus on being in a better relationship with You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.